Sorry, it took me a while to get settled there. So, my name is Michael Davis Hughes, and every once in a while I have the privilege of coming to share a message with you. And I did bring some props today, and really I'm not going to use them, but I figured if my message tanks, then at least I can talk about fishing, right? So I'll just put those aside here. So the title of this morning's sermon, Light in the Midst of Darkness, One Man's Journey for Hope. Now, when the gospel passage was presented to me and I thought about it, I thought about what I was initially going to present to you today or give the message around, which is this Race Across America that I'm doing again in 2020, in June of 2020, right? So I'm going to attempt that race again, and we're going to raise some money for students who are children who are going through cancer and to connect them with their classmates in the classroom through technology. And it's a very worthwhile cause and something that certainly I feel passionate about. I can certainly speak to. But you know, sometimes you have to open your heart and your mind to the Lord and what He has before you. And so for those of you who are expecting a message about the Race Across America, I'm sorry, but I'm going to disappoint you today. My message is not about that. But it is about light in the midst of darkness. And rather than one man's hope in his journey being about me, it's actually one man's journey for hope, that man being Christ. I want you to think about and perhaps refer to this morning's gospel, Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two others, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And finally, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Brad, could you put up the first slide for me, please? Thank you. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, we can think of Jesus as this great light. That this great light, merely by its presence, would lift the people in and around Capernaum out of the shadows. That their eyes would be opened and that they would repent their sins. That's the ideal version, right? That's the one that we may envision, that light brings us out of darkness, renews our soul, rekindles our spirit and our faith, washes away our sins and makes us anew. That we would welcome that light. Of course we would welcome the light, right? John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light is more powerful than darkness. Darkness is overcome by light. That once light is present, darkness has no chance. Well, except perhaps in the case of a black hole, where the forces of darkness are so strong that even light cannot escape its grasp. We think of the promise of a new day, and isn't it amazing how much light has come into our world today after all the darkness? The sunrise of a new day. We all accept that a new day begins a stroke after midnight, right? It's when a new day technically begins, the stroke after midnight. But those 5 to 7 hours of darkness before dawn aren't the ones we think about when we consider a new day. My friends, I'm here to tell you that the mere presence of light is not enough to change us, not enough to move us closer to God, to lift us from sin and death into His kingdom and glory. Seeing the light is a choice. Accepting the light is a choice. And so many refuse to accept that light. John 3:19, and this is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Love the darkness rather than the light. Do evil acts only occur at night? Is the mere presence of light enough to erase evil thoughts and deeds and lift us to a place of good, of hope, of love? No. We must make a choice to open our eyes to that light. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst those sanctified by faith in me. Now, it's not easy. Millions, if not billions, of people in our world each day who are surrounded by light, bathed in light, illuminated by it, warmed by it, and yet are governed in their thoughts and deeds and actions by darkness. Abuse, neglect, violence, evil acts don't just occur at night under the cover of darkness. They occur in broad daylight. In Capernaum, Jesus tried to convince people to see the light. Matthew 4:17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is Jesus. Jesus is the light. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But Jesus got frustrated. The people would not listen. They would not open their eyes to the light. Later in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, "And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done to Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Jesus had to work hard in Capernaum and in Galilee to convince people to see the light, to know the glory of God. You can imagine him traveling from one place to another, spreading the good news, and yet many, no, most, would not listen. They would not open their eyes to see the light. Heck, Jesus even performed miracles, healing diseases and sicknesses. He must have been thinking, "Lord, what is it going to take Don't these people get it? Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So where did that leave Jesus? And where does that leave us? What can we do to see the light? And in turn, help others see the light? You know, we have to be careful with light, don't we? Light that's too strong can hurt us. This is a bicycle light. See, I knew there'd be a tie-in for bicycling here somewhere. It has 550 lumens. Now, I have two of these on my handlebars when I go out on my training rides in the pre-dawn hours. I couldn't proceed without them. But when I turn it on and shine it at you, it's too much. You can't look directly into this light. And you shouldn't, any more than you should look directly at the sun or spend too much time exposing your skin to the damaging UV rays. To accept light, to embrace light, you truly must acclimate to it. To accept it, it must come to us in a manageable dose. We can't bring light streaming into a room of darkness and expect transformation to occur spontaneously and universally. We have to start small. A new day begins with a gradual light in a pre-dawn sky. A little light at first. As the sun begins to rise, still more light filters in until, hours later, we are bathed in the full light of day. Well, the exception may be here in coastal Humboldt County, when we're bathed in the semi-gray light of fog, but you get the picture. Start small with a cadre of the willing. That is what Jesus did. Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net to the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James and son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus understood that he alone could not bring the world out of darkness. He needed help. He needed fishermen. Fishers of men to join him. First two, then four, then 12, and now there are 2.4 billion Christians in this world. Now it's taken more than 2,000 years to get there, and it has happened not because of the mere presence of light, because that's not enough. There are two conditions that are essential to bring people out of the darkness, to bring hope, peace, prosperity, and love into the world. This is what we do. First, we must provide the light. We must bring it out to the open. We must ensure that light exists. Matthew 5, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. When we have the light, we don't just put it away and hide it. We place it somewhere prominently so that others may see it. I believe that we do this by leading through example, by being obedient to God, by choosing good over evil, by living lives of compassion, empathy, kindness, patience, forgiveness, and love. This ensures that light is available for others to see, if they choose to. For some, that's not enough. For some, that is enough. By the grace of God, the mere presence of good, the presence of light, will bring persons out of darkness and transform their lives. But I think this is a very small minority. You see, Jesus' presence in Capernaum and Galilee was not sufficient to change lives. I mean, here was the most holy of holy, who lived life in God's own image, the Son of God, for crying out loud. Would not the mere presence be enough to turn people from evil to good? To open their eyes to the light in abundance? Jesus is present, therefore I am changed. No, that is not how it worked. The mere presence of light is not enough. Condition number two. This is the one that trips us up. With and squirm when we are asked about it. Condition number two involves the invitation. Brad, can I have a second slide, please? The invitation. In the presence of light, we must reach out our hand and invite our fellow man to follow God. Again, Matthew 4, 19 through 22. Listen to these words. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Going from there, he saw two brothers. They were in a boat. Jesus called them. And they left their nets and followed him. Do you hear that? Jesus called them. He told them what they needed to do. Peter, Andrew, James, John didn't just drop their nets and follow Jesus just because he was present. No, they followed him because they were invited. As Christians, we can set a light on a lampstand and make that light available for others to see. We can live the lives that reflect the Christian faith. But if that's all that we do, I would suspect that in another 2,000 years, perhaps in another 200 years, the 2.4 billion Christians will be no more. We must do what Jesus did. We must extend the invitation. We must call out to others and ask them to join us. Be fishers of men. We must live the lives of example, accompanied by the courage to reach out to others, to extend that invitation of Christian faith. When children learn to read, they do not learn to read by being in a classroom full of books with a teacher who is competent at reading him or herself, right? They must be taught. They must be invited to learn. The presence of light is not enough. Now, step one is challenging enough, right? To live a life that follows God is not easy. And we stumble and fall again and again, but by God's grace, we're forgiven and given another chance. We can bring light into darkness in our workplace, with our friends, with our family, with our colleagues. We can achieve this by volunteering, going on a mission trip, donating money to the church or some other charitable cause. These are all good and necessary things to live in Christian faith. And we can do it, right? But the step two, that's the clincher. When we're asked to extend our hand and invite others to join us in our walk with God, our instinct may be to run to the darkness, to hide in the shadows. I know that I do that myself. What will people think of me if I not only profess my faith, but also ask them to drop their nets and come with me? I mean, what if it comes on too strong and I blind them with my double 550 lumen light? Yeah, that's possible. But you know, you'll know soon enough and you will figure that out. I know that like me, you love this church. You bask in its light and you are renewed in your faith by the fellowship and the worship that happens within and beyond these four walls. But to ensure that this church prospers, we must invite others to join. So in closing, I challenge you to help those who live in darkness, despite being illuminated by the light, to open their eyes to what God has to offer. This week, after you leave this place of worship, I challenge you to demonstrate the courage of extending the invitation, of reaching out your hand, as Jesus did on the shores of Galilee, and be a fisher of men. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that on this day, we not only bathe in your abundant light, but that we, by your grace and redeeming love, find the courage to go out into the world and reach out to others, inviting them to discover the peace and joy and love that comes through knowing you as our Father, that their eyes be opened to the light of your holiness, and that together we walk along the shores of this great earth, making fishers of men. Amen.